And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy.
Sounds like you're gearing up for this podcast.
Now it's a party. Oh, I got to get loosened up for Tell the Truth Thursday, Mike.
I hear you. Now, before we jump into that, Shane, our weekly feature on what these SEC coaches would say if they quit bullshitting and giving us coach speak nonstop, what they really have to say. I've got to credit Will Muschamp because he was honest today on the SEC coaches teleconference. This was one of the most bizarre and funny exchanges in the history of the call since I've been doing it. I've been doing it for about 5 years now. So, and for those that are unaware of what this is, basically every SEC coach has 10 minutes to speak. They have a allotted time. They have to call into a service, and it's put on by the SEC, and reporters from all across the SEC call in and just ask questions and whatnot. And so obviously South Carolina, they're hosting Texas A&M, and that's a annual game now because of the way, just the way the SEC lines up. For whatever the hell reason, they figured South Carolina and Texas A&M would be a good pairing. And apparently, and this is something I was completely unaware of, this is something Will Muschamp was unaware of, but apparently that's a rivalry, and here's Will Muschamp finding out that there's a trophy involved and everything, and I just thought this was a great exchange. So keep in mind, this is reporters talking to Muschamp, and you got a moderator coming in here, so this, I'm throwing a lot at you, but this is quite comical, so I figure we got to share it.
Hi, Coach. A little bit off-the-wall question here, but are you aware that the a game with A&M is a trophy game, and have you actually seen the trophy in person ever?
No, that's the first I've heard of this.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
What's the name of the trophy?
I think you hung up, Coach.
That's all right. I'll find out from somebody else.
Well, when you have a relationship or know the coach on the other side of the field as well as you know Jimbo, does that help at all in preparation or in in-game adjustments, or does it matter?
No, I think it's you overthink. You got a good football team. I mean, just cut it like it is. They have some talent on their team, and something we're going to need to play well.
Thank you. By the way, it's the Bonham Trophy.
The Bonham Trophy?
Bonham, B-O-N-H-A-M. It's named after an Alamo hero from South Carolina.
Okay. Was he in the movie that one? I watched that movie. It's a hell of a movie.
Maybe you can find the trophy somewhere.
Ain't no doubt. Well, hell, we ain't won, so we ain't got it over here, I can tell you that.
All right, Shane, so is this the first you're also hearing about this damn Bonham Trophy?
Had no clue, man. I had no clue. I love that movie, though.
I mean, that's how you know Will Muschamp's just a football guy. I mean, I don't even know if he knows the Alamo's a real thing. You know, like, I think he just knows there's a movie. He saw the movie. He loved the movie.
He ate there once.
Right. He's been to the Alamo Steakhouse, I'm sure, many times. But, yeah, this was just bizarre. And now all our listeners know as well, for those that didn't know, the Bonham Trophy goes to the winner of A&M and South Carolina. And as Muschamp points out, South Carolina's never won that damn thing, and maybe this will be the first year they actually do it.
I love it. Will they be actually exchanging something? I mean, like if this – I mean, you've seen the hats in the past with the I'm just curious, is there like an actual trophy? You mean, Tennessee and Kentucky used to have the Battle of the Beer Barrel, and they actually had a keg there, or a beer barrel on, you know, that they – they would hold up after the game. Is there a Bonham something?
I mean, that's a mystery for another day, Shane, because we just found out this damn thing existed. I assume there's something, but if these coaches don't even know about it, I would be surprised if Jimbo Fisher knew about it as well. Obviously, this is his first year in it, so.
Oh, I'd love to hear him try to talk about it. Oh, that's good stuff, Mark.
All right, so let's get to it. This is something we just teased a moment ago here. We're going to do Tell the Truth Thursday, and once again, we're going to hit on every SEC program, and this is just what we imagine these coaches would say if they, you know, were telling the truth, they were being honest. Shane will handle the SEC East as always. I'll handle the SEC West. Are you ready to do it, Shane?
I am ready, brother. Now, again, this is just what the coaches are really thinking right now, what we wish they would say.
Tennessee, I got a lot of respect for their coach, a guy I've known for a long time in this profession. You know, his son's a quarterback. He's a really good football player. They beat 3 Power 5 schools in the last 6 or 7 years, and they got really good athletes.
You got to give East Tennessee State credit. They gave a bunch of different looks. They stemmed around. They played hard. I think at the end of the first quarter, we had eight rush attempts for minus 1 yard. Those guys got after us really well.
Chattanooga is a very well-coached team. You know, Russ has done a really good job there. They're 8-2. They're one of the top teams in, you know, their division. They have 14 starters returning from last year's team. They're basically do a really good job on offense with the quarterback run type stuff and the play action.
All right, Shane. I think that pause was long enough.
Am I starting or you starting?
I'll let you start, but that was just kind of for the music anyway, you know?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
Dan Mullen, what would you say here on Tell the Truth Thursday if you were going to tell us the truth here?
Well, Mike, a lot of people counted us out when we lost to Kentucky, and zippity-doo-dah-day, we're back in it. A lot of people joking when they first came out saying there was a chance the University of Florida could make the playoffs. Well, who's laughing now? I mean, we came out, we beat the LSU Tigers, we beat the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I mean, we are on fire. And if you look at our schedule, upcoming schedule, who do we got to challenge us? But the Georgia Bulldogs. We beat them, we're in the SEC Championship. Because after that, you'd look at Missouri, South Carolina, Idaho, Florida State. Yeah, I don't think they have a shot, brother. I think we are going to be in the playoffs. And one thing that really, I really won't brag about my team is my defense. Everybody talks about the LSU Tigers and their defense. Everybody wants to talk about Mississippi State's front. But have you talked about the Florida Gators later? What team leads the nation or leads the SEC in sacks? I tell you what, who does? Florida with 20. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Dan. Wait a minute, I got another question. Who leads the nation or the SEC? I again apologize. I'm excited because I got my new Jordans on in fumble recoveries. Well, I tell you who. The Florida Gators with 11. Closest one to us, 7. So when you're sitting in your chair and you're talking about Alabama and you're talking about Georgia, there's another team that you need to worry about, and that's my team, the University of Florida. And that's all I got to say about that. Nick Saban, you're hanging 100 points every game you play. How you feel about your team coming into this week?
Well, Shane, even my hard ass is starting to enjoy what Tua tossing that glorious pigskin around the yard. I was glad to see Mac Wilson apologize for letting my defense go to shit, but at least we didn't score in damn near 70 points a game, so no one really noticed except for my hard ass. I know I've been touting Missouri as the best offensive team we faced, but you haven't heard me mention anything about their defense, have you? That's because they let a damn backup quarterback named Michael Scarn tear them a new asshole last week. Just imagine what my boy Tua is going to do them when we get him at home this week. It's going to be so bad that the students are going to be filtering in midway through the first quarter and tell them their InstaFace messenger phones that they hold right in front of their damn face. We're going to actually put them things down and watch us score some points on Barry Odom and his sorry-ass defensive team. We may score 80 points this week, Shane, but I'm sure I'll find something to bitch about when it's over. That's all I got, Shane. All right, Shane. Or should I say Kirby Smart? What do you got this weekend as your team heads to LSU?
Hell yeah, you should say Kirby Smart. I am smart. I got the best damn team in the East, and I'm about to prove it again come Saturday. I hope you come out. I hope you bring your fans, your family. I hope you bring everybody out to this ball game because the LSU is a joke to the Georgia Bulldogs. Everybody talking about Alabama hanging 60 points. Well, we don't need to hang 60. You ain't even seen my best plays yet. You ain't even seen what I'm capable of doing. You're going to see it Saturday because the game may be a little closer than I'd like at first. But guess who leads this conference in rushing? The Georgia Bulldogs. Everybody talking about you ain't got a 100-yard back. I don't need them because I've got 6 80-yard backs. And I'm going to keep rotating them, and I'm going to be going up and down this field, and I'm going to kick some ass come Saturday. I don't care what color the stands are. I don't care how many hype videos LSU comes out with. I don't care how loud Coach O talks on the sideline. It don't matter because the Georgia Bulldogs are the best team in the East, and we are going to prove it come Saturday. Okay, Coach Morris, let me ask you, how you feel about your team?
Wait, hold on there, Shane. I'm getting a phone call from a recruit. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm not supposed to talk about recruiting, but hey, we only gave up 687 yards of total offense last week, but our offense is looking good. Did I mention I'm about to land another recruit? Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to talk about that. I can't talk about that, but I'm about to get me another one. Just you wait and see. Yeah, we'll be living in Little Rock here and coming back with the best prospect in the state's history. Did I mention our defense is falling apart? Don't worry about that, because our offense is looking good. We scored 31 points on Alabama. When's the last time someone done that? Clemson. I wasn't the coach there, but I helped build that thing. I'm Clemson Chad Morris. Remember that. Now, we may be heading down to this old shitty stadium. It's 50 years old. It's made of concrete and duct tape. It's patched together like a child's erector set. But I'm just happy to be doing it because I'm not worried about this 5-game losing streak because I got another recruit coming in. But enough about that. I'm not supposed to talk about recruiting. Woo, Pig Suey, Full Tip Boogie. That's all I got, Shane.
Full Tip Boogie. Oh, I love it.
Okay, Mark Stoops, your team's coming off the first loss of the season. It was a tough one there to A&M. You're on a bye week, but if you guys finish strong here, you're still looking at probably the best record in Kentucky football history. What do you got to say on this Tell the Truth Thursday?
Well, truth is, Mark, we dropped that one. You know, I mean, any way you dice that thing, I stopped giving Beanie the ball. I wasn't able to changed my offense when they finally figured out I run every play. And I realized real quick that, we have a great team and we could do great things in the SEC. Hell, we could win the thing if I had a quarterback. And thing is, Terry, bless his heart, I mean, he's fast. You know, he's able to do things with his legs. I've never had a quarterback as quick as him. But you know, it kind of helps to have one that's accurate because I had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. I had time. I had the plays. I had timeouts. But I was afraid, man. I was absolutely afraid. I wanted to play this thing from the 30-yard line as opposed to trying to do a 2-minute offense. But that's where we're at, okay? And we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right because I tell you what, if you look at the schedule that we have, boys, I tell you what, we're set. The only team we got to worry about is Georgia Bulldogs. If we drop them, you know, whatever. I mean, this is Kentucky University. It's the Wildcats. Who we fooling? We're 5-1. We're second in the East. You got to be excited where we're at. And if I come out of this gauntlet of the SEC East with only 2 losses, I think y'all better give me an extension. You better do it now because if not, I'm going to hire my brother or whatever his name is out there in Oklahoma, and we're going to go somewhere else and do it ourselves. All right, Gus. A lot of fires going on down there in Auburn. How you feeling about your team this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, Shane. I'm going to have to take over control of this offense if this shit keeps up. I finally found me a running back. His name's Booby, but we can't keep him on the damn field. Do you know, I hadn't had a returning quarterback since 2014, and I finally get me one, and this guy pussed out since he got engaged. I think he's afraid to get hit or something. He's missing guys wide open downfield because there's pass rushers coming at him. What in the hell? He's a quarterback. It's supposed to happen. I'm just thankful these fools gave me a 7-year deal worth $50 million guaranteed. It's going to take plenty of money or more disappointments to burn through all that cash to get under my ass. But losing to Tennessee might just do that. You ever seen that movie, Shane, The Dark Knight, when old Heath Ledger burns up all that piles of money? That's what it's going to look like on the plains on Saturday if I lose. Let me tell you, war damn eagle, Shane, that's all I got.
Your voices are getting better, Mike. I got to admit.
I watch all these things. I'm trying to pick up their tendencies here. All right, Shane, or should I say Barry Odom, your boys just lost in a damn monsoon. It was a heartbreaker. She lost to Michael Scarnecchia, whoever the hell that is. How you feeling as your boys travel to Alabama to face the number one team in the nation here on Tell the Truth Thursday?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you brought me on. Truth of the matter is, I should have had that game. I mean, if you were watching it, we came out. We stopped them. We marched right down the field. We had the momentum. We scored a touchdown. I messed up. All right. I did an onside kick. I shouldn't have done it. I'm telling everybody that the kicker messed up, but the kicker's calling me out. Okay. It was an onside kick. It's my fault. But after that, you know, we still had things moving. But I messed up. I mean, hell, I got a running back that's got 154 yards. He's averaging almost 8 yards a carry, but for some reason, I don't want to give it to him anymore. I won't give it to Drew Lock, my golden goose. And God forbid it starts raining. I mean, Drew, come on, buddy. We got to play in the rain. This is football. But instead, I put everything on him, and he failed me. And we lost to a damn backup, Mike. I mean, a damn backup. We had South Carolina against the ropes. Michael Scarnecchia, or however you say his last name, didn't even watch any game film on because I didn't have any. He's a backup. And we blew it. It's my last shot. I was going to be 4-1, man. They're going to be talking about the Odom, all right? But not anymore. They're talking about how we dropped it. And now, we're going to freaking Alabama. Oh, what do you think we're going to do down there? You think Drew Lock going to look like a hero at University of Alabama? He may have 20, 30 points. I mean, that's a chance, but they're going to have 80 because my defense ain't that good. I mean, we just let the Gamecocks get 37 on us. I'm a little worried. I ain't going to lie because we're going to be a highlight reel come Saturday, and we ain't got our best wide receiver. But enough about that. Let's move on and get this thing over with. Oh, man, the one we've been waiting on. Coach O, you had a tough week, brother. I mean, you dropped one. I mean, I could kind of see why he didn't hire you now because you can't handle the heat, son. How you feel about your team this week?
Well, Shane, let me tell you what. I hate that damn Mullen. The man wouldn't hire me when he had the chance, and now he's ruined my perfect season. I'm still smiling, though. I'm still smiling, because I may be senile, Shane. Georgia's coming to town, and they're looking to put a hurting on my Tigers. But we got something for their ass, and it's called Mike the Tiger. I ain't never seen a Tiger back down from a dog, and you bet your ass it ain't gonna happen this weekend. I'm sure as hell gonna be ready for them doggies on Saturday. We may be hosting the number 2 team in the country on Saturday, coming off a physical game, but I'm still smiling, Shane. Why am I smiling? I don't know what other expression to make. If we beat them doggies, my Gators are gonna get shot back up in them poles. Go Tigers.
Alright, Shane, or should I say Will Muschamp. Team's coming off an emotional win at home in a damn monsoon game. How do you feel about your team as you host Texas A&M this week?
All right, Mike. Well, truth is, you know, I was a little worried coming in this Missouri game. I needed it. I needed this victory, and I didn't know. I didn't know if I was going to get it. Bentley was banged up, and I thought, hey, worst case scenario, I lose this game. I could say, hell, I ain't got to start quarterback, you know. So I throw Michael out there. I like to call him Scar because he can't pronounce his last name. Scar came out, looked good, actually looked real good, and that's the problem. I mean, the guy went out there, got me 3 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, he was on fire, and we got us a little bit of quarterback controversy. I wasn't expecting that, but when I get out here in these pressers, all they want to ask about is who's the starting quarterback. I haven't had to deal with this in a couple of years. So, truth be told, I kind of like to roll with Michael, but then again, I mean, Bentley, he's had moments, he's had flashes, and I got to be delicate with this situation. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm glad we got the victory, 37-35. I'll take it. And, you know, this week, big week, got fast-talking Jimbo coming in. I think they call it the Battle of the Broussards or Brussels or something like that. I don't know. I'm going to have some of it. And hopefully we will be hanging that trophy or plaque or whatever it is in my office come Saturday. So that's about all I got on that. Okay. Ole Miss, Coach Luke. Good man. Talk about a great offensive performance last week. How you feeling about your team this week going against Arkansas?
Well, Shane, I'm a listener of the podcast. I heard you and Mike calling me out saying I might damn lose to, I don't even know who in the hell we were playing, ULM. I don't even know what that stands for. But I'll tell you what, my boys put up 70 on them, broke damn near every offensive record in the book. My land shark defense, we call them the land sharks around here until they pick things up. They stopped shitting themselves and put together a couple drives. I was impressed with them boys. Thank God I inherited my offensive coordinator Phil Longo from Hugh Freeze, because otherwise my ass would be grass right about now. They couldn't handle Tua. Just wait till these sons of bitches get a hold of some Tuamo, because that's my quarterback's name. And however the hell you say it, I don't know, but Arkansas ain't going to be able to handle him neither. It don't matter to me none what his name is. All that matters is how much points he puts up, and he's leading the SEC in passing yards. I bet you didn't know that. He's got more than Tua, because he's Tua Amo. And he's going to throw that pigskin like it's Spam on Thanksgiving. Hotty totty gosh almighty, Shane. All right, Shane, or should I say Jeremy Pruitt, your team's traveling down to Auburn, a crucial game here for your program. What do you got to say here on Tell the Truth Thursday?
All right, Mike. Well, it's nice to be on. It's been 2 weeks since I've had to do one of these things. And, you know, the thing about Auburn is, if you remember, I grew up in the great state of Alabama, and I've always been a Crimson Tide fan. Don't tell these orange lovers out here that. But that means one thing, Mike. I hate the University of Auburn. All right? I mean, we've always – you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a big game for me personally. Anytime I get a chance to beat Auburn, if you'll remember the last time that I played them, didn't go so well. We lost that game, didn't do a good performance, all right, but I learned a few things. The team that's coming in here, this Auburn University, isn't the same ball club, thank God, from last year. All right, they've had some issues. I've heard they've had some problems in the locker room. A quarterback, Stenham, I mean, he looks like shit. So, thank goodness we lost some secondary this week. And, you know, he can throw it 20 yards past the wide receivers all he wants. All right. And I think my boys are ready. We've had 2 weeks to prepare for this university. All right. And I just you know, I think we're ready. I spent a little extra time these last 2 weeks on the offense, all right? So we want to get some things right. We want to get some running going. We want to get – I think we're – a lot of people ain't talking about us anymore, and that's good. We're not in the spotlight, but I tell you what, we will be after this week. All right, Mike? That's all. All right? Okay, Coach Moorhead, since we're going this way. big freaking game you had last Saturday. I'm telling you what, you impressed a lot of people. How are you feeling about your team?
Well, sir, from what I understand, FireJomo.com has been taken down, so that's another victory. I had two victories last weekend. Bet you didn't know that. James Franklin, if he starts calling me to come be his offensive coordinator, I'm going to tell him I got a good job now. I don't have to worry about leaving this program. We just beat Auburn. I figured, hell, we're trying to outsmart ourselves. We got the greatest running quarterback in the history of the SEC. Let's just run his ass into the ground. So that's what we did. We had to stop outsmarting ourselves when we realized all we had to do was outsmart Gus Malzahn and his kindergarten offense. That's easy enough to do when he's breaking out crayons and coloring books to draw up his plays. I'm the smartest damn man in Mississippi. It's because I'm not from here. I know how to read and write and how to draw up a play. And I'm going to draw up some Nick Fitzgerald runs right now while I got some time. We're on the off week, so I don't have a whole lot to say, but I just want to say Hail State, and I'll catch you on the next one, Shane.
You just pissed off everybody from Mississippi that is currently reading and writing a review right now, Mike, you dumbass.
That's him saying it, not me.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Some of the smartest people I know are from Mississippi.
There you go. Good recovery.
Okay, Shane, or should I say Derek Mason. Team's coming off another tough loss. You got Florida coming to town. What do you got to say on Tell the Truth Thursday?
Well, you know the thing, Mike, is we looked pretty bad against Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, everybody kept talking about the last time we were in Athens, we pulled away a victory. And I kind of wanted them to shut up, not make this a big game. And they didn't. They did make it a big game. And Kirby kicked my ass. And the sad thing is I'm kind of glad we had Tennessee State on the schedule, because that may be the last victory we have this year. We're sitting at 3-3. I think we got potential to make the playoffs, but golly, we got the damn Gators. I'd like to get this one and honestly the Kentucky game out of the way. Then we can just focus on Arkansas and maybe the Rebels and, God, maybe them Tennessee Vols. Because you remember in the state of Tennessee, if you're at the University of Vanderbilt, which I have been for several years, it's not about what you do in September, October. Again, it's about what you do in November, which is coming up. I hate this month of October, the leaves changing colors and stuff, but that's all I got on that front.
Oh, let's see. Finally, last but not least, we got Fast Talking Jimbo. What are you trying to sell me today, brother?
Boy, am I glad my defense bailed me out on Saturday. Otherwise, people will start wondering why they call me the $75 million man. I almost outsmarted myself there for a minute, putting Kellen Mond under the center. What was I thinking? He's never even been under center. When he's never been asked to do that, oh my God, what was I thinking? He fumbled the ball and damn Kentucky returned it for a touchdown. They almost took away my $75 million for that dumb decision. No wonder he fumbled it. No wonder. But you know what? Our defense bailed me out. Shut down Benny Hill, Benny Snell, Emmett Snell, whatever the hell his name is. The Cats, I don't care, because we're on to South Carolina. You know what? I'll tell you what. I had forgotten how easy it was in the ACC. Face Clemson, face a handicapped Florida team, and that's about it. Now I'm an Aggie, and we still have to face them Tigers of Clemson. And we get Alabama, undefeated Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Auburn. Oh, shit, what did I get into? I guess that's why they call me the $75 million man, because I got to put up with all that bullshit. Gig 'em Aggies.
Oh, is this segment getting worse every week? I don't know, Mike. I just...
All right, Shane, that's a good cue to go into Around the League.
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week, all our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just...
hear it over and over, and you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's gonna be a street fight. This game's gonna be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, we got to start in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide!
Big news here from Nick Saban. Tua has been injured.
Uh-oh.
Let's go to Tuscaloosa here, where Nick Saban met with the media on Wednesday, and he breaks down what the hell is going on here with Tua.
The two guys that I know you'll ask about is Tua has taken every rep in practice. He does have a sprained knee. We did put a brace on him just to kind of protect him, but he's been able to do all the work, you know, in practice, so that's not an issue.
All right, Shane, so it seems like Tua, I don't know if he's going to be necessarily limited, but this is a huge, huge break because it seems like Tua's getting hurt in practice. He got hurt in, I believe it was the spring, and now he's getting hurt here. Thoughts on you know, near disaster here for Nick Saban's program?
Yeah, I mean, damn, this came out of nowhere. Tua got hurt, sprained knee, and, you know, this is kind of why you're glad. If you're an Alabama fan, you got to be happy that Jalen stuck around because Tua does get banged up. You know, this isn't the first time he's been injured since he's been down there. Man, you talk about throwing a wrinkle in this team. Could you imagine right when the games get a little bit tougher, your starting quarterback goes down? You know, I'm glad this isn't a long-term deal, but it is something worth monitoring and keeping an eye on. I expect this game to be in control most of the time, so don't be surprised if Jalen comes in a little bit sooner just because of this news.
Now, speaking of Tua, I thought this was kind of interesting. Just a kind of a interesting comparison, I guess you can say, from Chad Morris on the coaches teleconference here on Wednesday. He was just kind of asked about basically, remember John Chavis and his comments that this was basically the best off Alabama's offense currently is, mm-hmm. is the best offense he's ever seen. So Chad Morris was asked about that, and he kind of agreed with that statement. But he was also asked about Tua and just kind of like what makes him so special. So here's Chad Morris on that, and he makes a pretty interesting comparison.
Well, I would agree. I mean, it didn't, and you know what you saw on tape leading up to the game. Obviously, you saw their speed, their size, their ability with Tua to be able to hurt you with his feet, with his arm. He's very calm and collective and really composed back there. And I'd made the comment through the course of the week that watching him reminded me of a lot of when we had Deshaun and how calm Deshaun always was in the pocket and how the game appeared to be a much slowed down, if that's such a phrase. He anticipates his throws. He sees them coming open before he throws the football. And then playing them in person and watching their overall team speed offensively and their ability to play action you and RPO you, I definitely think that this has definitely been one of the best offenses that I've seen, and they're extremely explosive.
All right, Shane, so from a guy that knows Deshaun Watson very well, that's pretty interesting comparison. I've never heard that one from Tua to Deshaun Watson there.
No, I haven't seen those two. But again, you know, a lot of people like to throw this comparison out. It wasn't too long ago, you know, Dabo was talking about Mon being kind of similar. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Tua's kind of his own guy. And the thing that I've really noticed about – I've never seen a quarterback – as accurate. I mean, some of the plays he's making on the move to the right, to the left, it doesn't matter. He is throwing freaking dimes out there, spiral passes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's next level. I mean, they may be talking about him in the future, comparing people to Tua. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and speaking of Dabo, I did want to touch on this just briefly here, but Sports Illustrated, they did a pretty in-depth piece on Dabo today, and I thought there was one nugget. You know, it's mostly about his career is just kind of taking over there at Clemson as an interim and just the, you know, ACC dynasty he's built from being like a complete unknown. He was never even a coordinator, but so the story mm-hmm. was mostly about that. But The main thing that I just wanted to hit on real quick here, this was something I had never heard, but back in 2007, when Nick Saban got the job at Alabama, there was a young assistant that he reached out to be his passing coordinator and wide receivers coach, and that would be one Dabo Sweeney, who they had never worked together before. But I guess Nick Saban had just heard a lot of good things, and obviously Dabo, you know, as Alabama fans love to point out, he went to Alabama and he coached at Alabama, and you know he's got several connections to that school. But how interesting and cool is that, that Nick Saban almost hired Dabo on his first Alabama staff?
It's cool, man. I like it. I like the history of – I mean, you think about this in college football in general. I mean, we talked earlier about Saban turning – you know, trying to get that Kent State job. And if he would have got it, where would we be? Or if he would have kept Drew Brees down there in Miami, maybe we're talking about a different situation. So it's just – one small thing can change the future, and who knows, if he would have hired him, he may not be at Clemson right now. So it's just that's what's cool about college football. It's just, you know, when you're watching it, it comes down to a play sometimes. Well, on the off field, it sometimes comes down to a phone call, a job taken or a job not taken.
Mm-hmm. And one final nugget on this story, because I thought this was kind of just funny. So the head coach there at Clemson was obviously Terry Bowden. That's the guy that Dabo took over for. And he was asked, you know, how'd you keep Dabo when Saban made this offer to him? You know, because that had to been tempting for Dabo to go back to his alma mater and work for Nick Saban. But Terry Bowden said, well, we gave him a promotion by naming him associate head coach, which is kind of like that's like a thing that goes around now, you know, where you name co-coordinators and associate head coaches. And they asked Terry Bowden, well, what's an associate head coach? And he said, hell, I don't know. We just gave him a promotion. So there you have it. Those associate titles, those are bullshit. But, hell, if it gets a guy some more money, you know, more power to him.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Hey, real quick, I was looking at Tua here. Have you seen his first name, like, complete?
No, I'll give you a dollar. I thought it was Tua.
It's not. It is not. There is like 26 letters in this first name. Tueng Yemenulupo Pola.
Wow.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm just curious if you ever seen it. I always thought it was Tua, but apparently it's Tueng Yemenulupola. So yeah, let's just call him Tua.
All you true Alabama fans out there, if you're a real diehard, you'll tattoo that on you instead of Tua.
I love it.
All right, Shane, so one other thing I got here. Obviously the big game this week, LSU hosting Georgia. And Kirby Smart, he met with the media recently, and you know, this is something that we've kind of hit on a previous podcast about how Kirby Smart, he's played in Baton Rouge. He's obviously coached there many, many times as an Alabama assistant, so this is the first time he's bringing his Georgia program to Baton Rouge. And I just wanted to just play this quick comment from Kirby on just on the noise of that stadium and how his team will handle that.
Every time you go on the road, you have crowd noise. You have to prepare for it. If you belabor the point and talk about it, they may start believing all of it. I mean, at the end of the day, loud is loud. It only gets so loud where you can't hear anything, and you cannot hear anything in that stadium. Can't hear anything in a lot of SEC stadiums. So, I mean, it is what it is. We got to go out and execute. We know that'll be a factor. We know that, you know, that'll cause it makes it hard on the offensive line. Those are all factors. We practice with noise. We do it all summer. We try to make ourselves comfortable being uncomfortable, and so we can't let it be a distraction for us.
So, Shane, the reason like I wanted to bring this up. Because I think this is kind of lost when we talk about Georgia. Yes, they're talented. They're pretty deep. But this is a team that is very young. And not only that, but, I mean, even redshirt seniors on this team, no one has played in Death Valley, so none of them know what they're going into. And this team has not really been tested on the road. We talked about it, you know, when they played Missouri, that was a noon game, which was technically an 11 kick for Missouri. They played at South Carolina, which I'm sure was pretty rowdy, but they just took control of that immediately and killed the crowd. Is there enough being made of Georgia going into a game that, from all indication that I hear, that this is basically the biggest home game in LSU for years and years. Like, I imagine this crowd's going to be insane.
Yeah. Now, well, I mean, I'm sure Kirby's doing it. I mean, Kirby's been to loud environments before. There's a lot of players on this Georgia Bulldog team that's been in loud environments. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of youth as well. And, you know, especially when you're looking at that offensive line, because there's still some injuries that they're dealing with. There may be some jumbling right here at the very end. That's concerning, just because Death Valley is going to be extremely loud. And like you said, they really haven't had that opportunity, or this starting five wasn't there in South Carolina. The starting five wasn't there when they went to Missouri. But you look at both those places, South Carolina was knocked out early as far as crowd noise. You know, if LSU stays in this thing, then it does come a factor. And there's going to be miscues. There's going to be missed blocks and missed assignments. But I will say, in the past, if Georgia does miss up, they typically got enough talent to rebound, and you don't really notice it. So I'm just kind of curious, because this is the best team that they've played this year.
Yeah, and I think this is a team that's actually going to match up with them in a lot of ways. I think for whatever reason, that Florida matchup was just really bad for LSU, because Florida's got a lot of edge rushers. Mm-hmm. LSU's got problem defending, you know, pass rushers. Georgia's last in the SEC in sacks. They're not a dominant run stuffer. And that, so, I mean, this kind of plays into the factor for the Tigers here. So I think there's a lot going into this game that people are not quite looking at closely enough. I'm kind of expecting a really good game here.
I am too. And I will tell you, man, I guarantee Kirby watched that Florida game about 100 times. And, you know, he saw what happened when they got pressure on Burrows. And don't be surprised if he's not drawing up a few plays like that as well. I mean, Kirby's no dummy. And the thing is, they've not had to be aggressive in any game that they've played. So if it's a close ball game, don't be surprised if you start seeing a few things that you ain't seen in a while. Maybe some blitzes and schemes and some packages that they've not had to show just yet. And that's awesome. Element of surprise. So, you know, don't be surprised if you see them come Saturday.
Yeah, and one final note on this game, Shane. LSU linebacker, inside linebacker Jacob Phillips, the sophomore, he is going to play in this game. So he missed the Florida game. I think they really missed him in defending the run. And you may recall, this is the guy for LSU that had the pick six, against Miami in the opener and really broke open that game. So you pair him next to Devin White, and LSU's got a hell of an inside linebacker core there. So that's just more good news that indicates this is going to be even a better LSU defense for this one.
Well, speaking of injuries, have you heard anything about Solomon yet?
Kirby, it says he's going to play, but I think it's still kind of like a wait and see here. He has been practicing, which obviously it looked like his season may be over. When any time you get carted off the field, you assume the worst. But
yeah,
they say he's practicing, so I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. But I mean, you hope he's there, and if he's not, they may be just holding him out because the following week is the bye week, and then they get Florida, so. They may just be bringing him back slowly for that one, but it just kind of remains to be seen.
Okay. All right.
And one final news note I got here, Shane. I just thought this was kind of interesting. We give Dan Mullen a lot of flack on here for all his wackiness and everything, but he did make some interesting comments on the SEC coaches teleconference here on Wednesday. So this was kind of on his trick play. So I'm going to play these comments, and then we can discuss them here.
Okay.
Practice a lot of the trick plays in camp and then bring them out during the week when you might use them, or do you bring them out like a couple of times? I mean, how often do you practice those plays?
Oh, you know, we carry about 4 to 5 every game, and so you're practicing them every week, and, you know, and then you use a couple here and there. And so, you know, you put them all in during training camp, and so the guys know have an idea what it is, and you say, hey, this week we're, you know, I guess probably 3 to 5 your carry per game, and say this week we're going to carry these 3 to 5. You might use, you know, and then you might use one or two of them, and, you know, then next week, you know, you say, okay, here's the package, and some of them might carry over from the week before, so you've been practicing it for like 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, we've been, you know, there's some maybe we've been practicing for 7 weeks now. that we haven't used in a game. So the guys just have a little bit of foundation for it.
How many do you have total?
Well, there's so many plays and so little time, you know. I mean, you give me a pen, I can draw probably 1,000.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's so many of them. Now, you can't teach all of them, but there's, I mean, we have libraries of them.
I'm sure Pat's going to draw something and send it to you right now.
Deliver it to us. I get emails all the time for them, too, you know. I mean, people send in me all kinds of plays of what we should and shouldn't do.
any of them any good?
Some of them aren't even legal in the game of football, but that's okay.
All right, Shane, so Dan Mullen's the damn man with a million trick plays here. thoughts on, I mean, like I said, we poke fun at Dan all the time, but, hell, he knows when to break these things out. He knows when to use them at the right time. And, you know, even going back to the jump pass and everything. So you got to hand it to this guy for he's kind of a master of the trick play.
Yeah, I doubt he's going to have to put too many of them out there this week. But it's kind of funny because, you know, growing up, that's – you always kind of – it's like drawing plays in the sand. That's kind of what it sounds like Dan does sometimes. Like, hey, let's why not? Let's try this. You know, he tries mm-hmm. – sometimes he tries to play loose, and I like that about him. And we saw a lot of them last week. So I am kind of curious, you know, what – I thought it was interesting. He's talking about people emailing him plays. So maybe I'll send him one or two and see what he thinks about it. I guess – you know, because growing up – We practice trick plays all the time in practice, you know. But the 4 years I was there, I don't remember running one of them. You know, mm-hmm. We practiced them, but we never did. Usually, you did the same old, you know, the hook and ladder or the, you know, one of those type of plays. But man, there's some. I have seen some creative play calling this year from not just him, from the entire SEC. There's been some doozies drawn up.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, so that's all I got on this one. You got anything before we jump off here?
Yeah, buddy. I appreciate everybody taking the opportunity to rate and review us on iTunes. We did get 2 ghost reviews. Now, you know, you may have posted something, but it does take a couple of days to, for some reason, to come through. And so once those do, we'll definitely include those on the show. Now, on the Reddit page, That SEC Podcast, again, if you get on Reddit, go to That SEC Podcast. We've had a few more join, and we're going to try to be really active on that this Saturday. I'm trying to do better. I don't use that platform much, so just hang in there with me. But I did notice a couple of people posting some comments when Mike, I think you posted something in the Nashville one. Is that right?
I did, yeah, because just – you know, I'm from Nashville. I live here, and they were just talking about SEC football, so I figured they might appreciate it, and we got some pretty good feedback on it.
For sure, for sure. And I do want to call a few of them out here. This one, I love his name, Lovemaker69.
Oh, yeah.
Says, huge fan of the podcast. And Inspector Butters said, just started listening to you guys a few weeks ago. I really enjoy it. It is just like sitting around with your buddies and talking some SEC football. So I appreciate those guys. One last thing before we go here. Every day, Mike tweets out a synopsis of the show and a link and things like that on Twitter. SEC Mike, if you don't follow him there. I'm at Big Orange Vols. Vols with a Z, of course, because the S was taken. but I do appreciate everybody retweeting that and spreading the word. So I just wanted to read just a couple of those that did that for us today. EOD Sleep, Sleepy Joe, I love you, brother. That is my brother. That's Mike's cousin, so I appreciate the retweet there. David French, Steve Wadsworth, and Clay Farr, I appreciate you guys giving us a retweet today. And that's it, man. I'm having fun. You're having fun, I'm sure. And just talking college football. That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate all the listeners. I appreciate you, Shane, for joining me as always. And I'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
What do you got to say here on Tell the Truth Thursday? I've kind of fucked that up. Let me try that again.